We pray that something will be said to encourage you on tonight. Amen. So at this time, we're going to have our, get your Bibles out. We're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse 9 and 10. We're going to do 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse 9 and 10. And then we're going to go over some other place. Amen. God is a good God. Pray for me. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 and 10. When you have it, you just read the monitors as well. Amen. But ye are a chosen generation. We'll read all together. A royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I want to jog over to 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2, 15. Look at verse 15 through 17. 1 John chapter number 2, verse 15 through 17. We'll read it together. Amen. Okay. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we just want to give your name glory, honor, and praise, Father, just for allowing us, Father, to be gathered together this night, hallelujah, in the precious name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word. We thank you, Lord God, for the storms and the trials that you have brought us through. Thank you, Lord God, because we have freedom of religion and freedom of speech, and we're able to come and gather together in your house on this evening. Father, we thank you for our pastor. Thank you for the anointing of God that has suborned his life. We thank you for the Agape Church family. The best is yet to come. Father, we thank you even for Bishop Burton, the things that he has instilled, the legacy, Lord God, that he has left behind for so many of us that we may be able to enjoy in the name of Jesus. And Father, we don't want to forget Israel on today, Lord. They're being bombarded and they're being plagued and things are going on over there, Father. But we pray for the peace in the nation of Israel. We ask, oh God, that you cover your people with your precious blood. Drive back the powers of the enemy, Lord God, that will try to destroy your people, Lord. And let the angels, holy of mercy, be encamped around about Israel, Lord God. Protect them and keep them, Lord God. The things that the enemy had planned, Lord God, the weapon may be formed, hallelujah, but it will not prosper because you are God and you have a victorious people. Bless them, keep them, strengthen them, Lord. Supply all of their needs. And we thank you and we praise you again for Israel and for Agape on today. Can we give God a hand praise on this evening? In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, and we seal this prayer in Jesus' name. I did not know that Israel was under attack, but I thank God that, you know, we know how to pray for our people, our brothers and sisters, amen. We know how to pray for the nation of Israel, amen. So our topic today is simply going to be, my church does not fit into the world. My church, God's real church, does not fit into the world. The world has many temptations and different things that can lure and pull and tug away at God's people. But we are special. The Bible told us in 1 Peter, we're going to go back to 1 Peter. We're going to go back to chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And it says we are a chosen generation. That's who we are. We're chosen. And when you're chosen for something, it's for a specific time, for a specific era. And that is us. We are the ecclesia. We are the called out. God has something special for each and every one of us. We are a royal priesthood. We are kings and we are priests in the kingdom of God. We can go to God on behalf of ourselves. We don't have to go to a priest and offer up sacrifices for our sins. But when Jesus said it is finished on the cross and the veil was rent in twain, and how Jesus, he went to hell and he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave away from the enemy, and he led captivity captives and he gave gifts unto men. Hallelujah. We can be free and we can stand in God's presence for ourselves. We can pray day and night. We can cry out to God on our own behalf. We don't have to necessarily go to somebody to pray for us unless we just want to. But we have the awesome privilege of getting on our knees and bowing on our face and we say, Lord, I stand in need of your help. Because if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, where would we be on today? And we know that this is a nation of people. We know that we're living in treacherous times. People who don't want to serve the Lord. People who don't want to worship God. Then you have some that want to blend in. Pastor called them some creeps. We got folk that want to blend into the church and want to act like and make like that they're among us. But they're not really of us. It takes somebody special. It takes somebody with some fortitude. Somebody who wants to persevere to be saved. If you're going to be saved, it's not because you're just going to tiptoe through the tulips. It's because it's going to be intentional, like Sister Teresa said. If you're going to be saved, it's because you got your mind made up that I'm going to make a sacrifice unto the Lord. And when you make sacrifices unto Jesus, he's going to tell you, I don't want you to do this. I want you to get rid of that. That's not going to work in my program. That's not going to be part of my agenda. And we have to follow the purpose and the plan and the mind and the will of God. So many people are not willing to do that anymore. They want to make it about them. So they can be comfortable. They want to be comfortable. They don't want to be singled out or persecuted or whatever. They don't want that. They just want to be comfortable. And they're like a chameleon. They want to blend in with this group and blend in with that group. And no, it's not about doctrine. Yes, it is about doctrine. The doctrine of the apostolic church. The doctrine that Peter said when he was on the day of Pentecost, when they were all with one accord in the upper room. That's how they got some results, because they were all with one accord. And Jesus gave Peter the keys. He gave him the keys of the doctrine of the apostolic church. And that's what we stand upon. We are a body of believers. We are a military group. We got to put on the whole armor of God. If we're going to fight and win in this war, we got to have on the armor. There's so many things that can lure our time away, hallelujah, from the things of God. Next thing you know, you'll be somewhere spiritually asleep. You're not praying, you're not fasting, you're not into your word. You're doing whatever you want to do and say, Lord, I'm still a good person. I'm still a nice person, but I found out for myself, you can be good and nice and go to church and sing in the choir, all those wonderful things. But you got to have this word deep, 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 deep down in your heart. It's not enough to be a shallow Christian, but you got to be a Christian that's willing to launch out into the deep and to know the deeper things of God. Yes, it's going to be some sacrificing of your sleep, because God's going to say, get up and pray. You know we don't want to let them covers go, especially now that it's really getting colder. But when you have your mind made up and when you know how much help you really need, you say, I get up, Lord. I know I need some help, Jesus. So I might as well get on up out of this bed and get on my knees and pray and pray and cry out on behalf of our nation and our children. Who would have thought that we would have went to bed and woke up and healed Israel is under attack from some group of people? Much damage, hallelujah, but God knows how to fight on behalf of his people, Israel. It says that we are a holy nation. In the midst of a perverted people, we still can be a holy nation. We really can. We really can let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven above. We have to be the salt of the earth. Many people are looking. They're looking. Sometimes they don't even know what they're looking for, but they're hurting. And they're looking for somebody to show them a way out of their situation. All we have to do sometimes is smile and speak and just tell somebody, good morning, how you doing? You know, just that smile makes the difference that you acknowledge them. That you acknowledge who they are. Hallelujah. So many children going through so many difficult changes at such a very young age. So many young people, so many kids. But how we can get together, we can be an example. Hallelujah. We have young people services, and we have even our children. They know about Jesus because while their parents bring them to church.
my cousin had put a little Facebook post out, and for her granddaughter, I think it said, she said, Mimi, she said she had prayed. She let Mimi know that she prayed and that her prayer worked. That basically God answered her prayer. And for, I think she's about 8. And for her to have that testimony of the realness of God at such a young age, that'll be something that she'll never forget for the rest of her life. But who better to show her than Mimi and Papa about how to be saved and how to live for the Lord and her other family members? Why? Because the church does not fit into the world. God's church, we don't fit into the world. How in the world can we show our teach our children about God if we're not living the life before them? If we're not praying and telling them, honey, sit right here next to grandmother, or sit next to mom, or sit next to daddy, and while I pray. You have to teach them and train them. So sit right next to you. Sit right here. You might have a little toy or coloring book, but I'm going to pray. And as we're praying, guess what happened after a while? They're going to be praying too. And sometimes, a lot of time, they're going to imitate what we do. I love to see them imitate us. Love to see them how they can, you know, I said, oh, you was really paying. Yes, they be paying attention. They're like little tape recorders and sponges. Everything we do, they soak it up. Because you know we used to play church at home. You know we could testify like brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so and shout like them too if we wanted to. Because we were taught and we were brought to the house of the Lord. We have a generation of young people that don't know anything about God. Their parents don't bring them to church. So it's our job to be examples and to be lights. My Bible tells me that we're not to love the world. Neither the things that are in the world. Any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And it's not about the trees. We can enjoy the trees and we can enjoy the stars and the things that God has created, the ocean and the mountains. We're talking about loving the world system. The things that the world calls powerful and mighty and great and all this type of thing that the world puts on a pedestal that God said, that don't work in my kingdom. And so many times, if we're not careful, we'll try to pick up things from the world, bring them over to the church, and think that that's going to make God happy. It's not going to make God happy. He has a way that he wants to do things. And we are special unto God. And we don't have to imitate the things that the world does in order to stand out. I know there's a lot of things going on. We got social media. We got different media platforms. And it is so easy to see people from all over the world. And you're like, wow, that's another Agape. Wow, that's another Christ Church. Wow, that's another Zion Tabernacle. Wow. So we're connected. We're like really connecting to people everywhere. But then also, too, you might find some other places. You're like, now, we don't do that in my church. We don't do this in our church. No, that's not going to. I know Pastor Jason would say, no, that ain't going to work over here in Agape. And we thank God for a leader that has the mind of Christ. Somebody that's not going to go along with every sway of doctrine just to bring souls into the kingdom and say, well, we want to get souls into the kingdom. So what we're going to do, Pastor, we're going to take all these pews and we're going to put out some little chairs. And then when we want to have skating and all that, we're just going to have skating right here. But this sanctuary has been dedicated to the presence of the Almighty God. We want to always feel God's power and anointing. We don't want Agape to go stale. We don't want Agape to be dry. We know Pastor Jason is too much on fire for that. We always want to be excited. We want God's church to be an exciting church. When people walk up in this place, they should feel the presence of God. But they're not going to feel his presence if God's people are acting phony. They're not going to feel his presence if God's people are acting fake. They're not going to feel his presence if they don't feel that we love each other. This shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one toward another. We got to love one another. That's the main thing, because the talks about seducers waxing worse and worse, talking about how it's so cold. It's cold out there, saints. We want to be warm. We want to be warm for Jesus. Now, one of our scriptures that I want to look at is Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4 is talking, and I must look at verse 11. Ephesians 4 verse 11 says, and he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. For why did he do that? What is the purpose of the church? For the perfecting of the saints. It's okay. It's okay to use the word perfect. We're not saying that you're not going to like dot every I, cross every T. But what we're talking about is maturity. A lot of people don't like that word maturity, because it causes them to allow the Holy Ghost to examine them. And they don't want the Holy Ghost to go into those secret places. They don't want the Holy Ghost to pull up that trauma. They don't want the Holy Ghost to do heart surgery because it could cause some pain. And they don't want to go back to the past. But that's what God wants to heal. He wants to heal you everywhere you hurt. But many times people want to make excuses. Oh, it's okay for me to continue on to be this way. I've always been this way. But the Holy Ghost want to do a new thing in your this way so that you can have show forth the praises of Him who have called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. God don't want us making excuses. But so many times people, they make excuses. They don't want to be perfected. They don't want to be mature. They don't want to face who they really are. Sometimes we don't want to face those ugly things about ourselves. Sometimes we don't want the Holy Ghost to tell us we were wrong or tell us, you know, you were self-righteous and you know you didn't have the right attitude. We don't want to hear that from the real Holy Ghost. We want somebody to pat us on the back and tell us that we're so cute, we're so pretty. But if we're not careful, we'll be cute, pretty on the way to hell because we don't want to get it right. Hallelujah. And I'm not here to judge and put people in hell, but you know what I'm saying? Some stuff we don't take care of, that's what we're going to end up at. Because we're being disobedient. We're being self-willed. But God want to do a new thing. He wants us to grow and He wants us to be mature in Him. And so many people, they don't want you to tell them nothing. You know how I am. Sometimes I don't want the Holy Ghost or always correcting me, but it's okay. Sometimes people got to correct me. Got to be corrected on the job. So I thought I was doing a good job. Well, now you can do better once you get corrected. Amen. Amen. So for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We need to be edifying one another, saints. Building each other up in the kingdom of God. We come to the house of the Lord. We should be encouraging to one another. We don't know what we're going to go through. This is only October. And I've already been to, I think, a couple of viewings and things like that. I think that's what I've been to. And I'm like, Lord, okay, this is a little overwhelming right now. You know, because it's overwhelming to go to funerals. You see, of course, you're glad to see the saints, but it's just kind of hard when you hear about this one and that one. And I said, Lord, how many? I think I've been at least one or two. Maybe one. That was enough. You know, but different things are happening, and our world is constantly changing. And we need to know. We need to be very sure our anchor holds and grips the solid rock. And that rock is Jesus. That's the folk didn't want that rock a long time ago, but we need the rock. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground. Okay, how much money you have. The world glorifies money and being millionaires and doing this, that, and the other. But it's those same people that got the money that are killing themselves. Same people with all the money, you know, that are going to jail. Same people with all the money who are making horrible mistakes with their life. Same people with all the money who perhaps are being betrayed and being hurt. And they got all that money and know Jesus. They got to have Jesus. He makes all the difference in the world. And it says here, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. If you don't know it by now, Jesus Christ is our standard. If you didn't get it last week, this week, Jesus Christ, He is our standard. You don't have to look at nobody else and see what nobody else is doing or what. Okay, but Sister So-and-so, she prays 5 hours, and Elder So-and-so, he prays 7. Lord, what am I going to do? Look at Jesus. He's a standard. He's the one that's looking at your heart. If all you got is 30 minutes, honey, make it the best 30 minutes that you have. Why? Because He's the standard. He knows what your schedule looks like. He knows what your lifestyle and your home looks like. He knows about your money and your finances. He knows all about that. But He just wants us to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation. He wants us to be one of those living sacrifices. You know, it's kind of hard to be a living sacrifice. But we got to be a living sacrifice. That's what He's looking for. That makes God happy. And to be a living sacrifice. Why? Because He said, my church does not fit into the world. I don't care what the world is doing this. I don't care if it's the... We call the collective church world. It's a lot of stuff that's going on in the church world. Oh, we're going to go to this play. And they say it's a Christian play and they slap Jesus on it. And they probably cuss and do everything else. Ain't no Jesus in there no kind of way. But they're going to call it a Jesus play. Really? No, I don't want my spirit. And you don't want your spirit contaminated with nothing like that. You know, I don't know if you've ever been somewhere and said, oh, Lord, something don't feel right. Ooh, I don't like that. What's going on? We want to have clean hands and a pure heart. That's what we want. We want to have clean hands and a pure heart. We always want to feel the presence of God. So we careful where we take the Holy Ghost. We careful what the Holy Ghost hears. We careful what the spirit of, what we pick up in our Holy Ghost spirit. We don't want to pick up the wrong type of thing. You know, sometimes we thought it was okay. And sometimes our conversations, we have to ask the Holy Ghost to help us to guard our mouth. Because we might say something that we didn't mean to say, but it came. But you know, like, you know, maybe gossip into whatever we're doing. And the Holy Ghost will say, you know, close your mouth. You know, like, oh, okay. Sometimes we want to get them told. You know, we got to put our hand on our hip. Do one of these numbers. Okay. The Holy Ghost will let us know you need to keep all that together. You okay? Keep it all together. Keep everything in alignment. Sometimes I got my little senior citizens. I like to tease them, you know, like to kind of play with them. Like, no, you better stop all that dancing. You might hurt something. I love to mess with them because, you know, they're fragile. You know, they reach a certain age where their body, you know, their bones are a little fragile, you know. I want to keep everything in place. You know, we just kind of tease and have a little fun with them, you know. So, they better stop all that. Mm-mm, they going to the hospital, better get it together. You know what I'm saying? So we want to be careful where we take the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost don't like everything. The Holy Ghost don't want to be in everybody's presence. You're not trying to be stuck up, but the Holy Ghost don't want to be in everybody's presence. Some people, their mouth is foul. Sometimes they tell dirty jokes. Sometimes they run and fall down. Holy Ghost don't want to be in all that. We got to be careful when we take the Spirit of God. We can be selfish, and we can guard the Spirit of God that's within us because we want to feel God's presence. We want to be able to, the children of Israel did one day. I'll tell you what they did. They was being disobedient, and they was not following the commandments of God, and I think they was having a fight with the Philistines, and they was losing. So what they did was they said, okay, I know what we're going to play church. We're gonna go get that ark, and we're gonna bring that ark into our presence because the ark represented the presence of God. They was playing church. So then they weren't doing the right thing. So when they were losing the battle, they thought we're gonna get the ark, we're gonna bring it in our presence, and then God is just gonna come and save us from out of the hand of the Philistine. And you know it didn't work like that. It didn't work like that at all because they were too busy playing church. And the Philistines took the ark. They whipped them and they took the ark of God and they put it into, and they put it in their little temple with their little crazy God named Dagon. And we know that the presence of God and death and the enemy just don't mix because of that presence of God took that Dagon down. He was down, down, down. But that's what happens when God's people, we think we can kind of, you know, be a little churchy over here and a little churchy over there. And oh, yeah, do we want to live any kind of a way? Come to church, everything is going to be all right. It doesn't work like that. We got to be a living, breathing sacrifice. Hallelujah. Because again, I talk about that Ichabod. Ichabod means that the glory of the Lord have departed. And we don't ever want to be a place where we cannot feel God's presence. We don't want to have that type of church name. I don't care what everybody else is doing in the world. I don't care what the church world is doing and saying, oh, it's okay to do this and it's okay to do that. You know, you want people to be saved. You know, it's okay, well, that's fine. But then we'll just live right. We want people to be saved. We'll just live right. And we'll just present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And we'll be kind to people. We'll show them the love of God. I don't have to do crazy things just to get people to come to church. And we don't have to do crazy things to get them to stay in church. If you love God, it's because if you want to stay, because you love the Lord. That's what it's all about. Too many things going on in our world. God said, my people, my church does not fit. It don't fit into the world. Now let's look into more scriptures. Let me look at my time. All right. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But it says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him all things, which is the head, even Christ. Christ is the head of the church, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working. That's a meaty scripture. In the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Everything that we need is in the body of Christ. Everything we need is in these 66 books. Everything that we need is in Jesus. And because we are a body fitly joined together, we know that our gifts and our talents and the things that God has given us to do, they all flow together. Everybody can't do one job and everybody can't do this one, but God has a job for everybody to do. And I don't have to do your job, but you don't have to do my job. All I have to do is, because I can't do it effectively anyway, if God didn't call me to do it, it'll be a mess. And I say, Lord, why did I do that? And you did that because you know why you did that. You know why we do some things. And the Holy Ghost let us know, just, you know, stay in your lane, stay in your place. Whatever gift I've given to you, I'll allow you to perfect that, bring that to maturity. That's the most important thing. It says a body fitly joined together. Saints, we're not alone. We are not by ourselves. We are a body fitly joined together. And every joint is going to supply what we need. When you have those joints, we have different kinds of joints. We have these kind, we got this kind. We got all different kinds of joints. And we have some joints that move, and some joints that move a little bit, and some joints we need them to stay right where God put them. Amen? Those joints are going to supply nourishment. The joints are going to give us fluid. I mean, we have fluid and like synovial fluid and things like that in our joints and in our joints and things like that in our bones to make sure that everything works properly. We want our bones to work right. We got to have our joints. They're going to connect to our bones. And those joints are going to give us nourishment and protein and nutrients. All these things work together. All right, so we don't have to look to the world to do this and to do that. Everything that we need is in the body of Christ. Everything that we need really is in the body of Christ. It says, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. If everybody just does what they need to do, every part will work in its proper place. Making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Everything that we do, we got to seal it with love. Everything that we do, we want to seal it with love. We want to have love for God. We got to have love for one another. If that means preferring my sister or brother over me, amen, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If that's for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. So again, God says my church, I don't care whoever, whatever, but God said my church does not fit in with the world. The world got a lot of gimmicks. The world got a lot of stuff that look real good and shiny and glamorous, but that's not for you. Because some of that could lure you to another area. The Apostle Paul said, all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. And some things that maybe I can do that you can't do, and vice versa. So we have to, when the Holy Ghost is saying, no, that's not for you. No, that's not for you. Just say, well, thank you, Lord, okay. And by and by, he'll show you why that certain things are not for you. It might be for somebody else, but it's not for you. There's some things that they can work in the world, it's not going to work in the church. And God's going to let you know, that don't work over here. Joshua, he wanted to win the battle. Of course, he I think it was the battle with Ai. Things didn't go right. And what did he have to do? They had to find out that, who was Achan? He took the accursed thing. He had his own agenda, but his agenda didn't line up with the agenda of God. And as a result, it affected the whole battle. So Joshua had to go back to the drawing board. Lord, what happened? And God let him know, send in the camp, bring everybody together. Let's find out what the problem is. Sometimes it's a little leaven, saints. The leaven's the whole lump. Sometimes it's a little, just the little things that we think we can get away with. But God's saying, no, that's not going to work in my agenda. That's not going to work in my kingdom. But go back to the basics. Go back to the old landmark. Our fasting, praying, reading, seeking, studying. Go back to seeking God. Seeking God. Sometimes those things that we think are just old fashioned. No, they're not old fashioned. Them things will take you from earth to glory. You better recognize it. You need to pray. And you need to seek God and talk to God about everything. Sometimes we want to make decisions because, well, the grass can look greener over here. But God said, no, I need you to stay where I put you. You're being tested. You're being tried. Today was one of my days. I thought, ooh, I think I need to go someplace else. But that's not what God wants. I believe that God wants me to stay right where he put me. I'm like, oh, Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. Because sometimes it's the enemy. He just want to run us away from our blessing. We can't let the enemy run us away from our blessing. Amen. No matter how hard it gets, we know that God will help us. So, saints, we have to put on the whole armor of God that we can stand against the wiles of the enemy. I'm going to read you some scriptures from 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Let me see, get my scriptures together. But God, okay, here we go. Let me go back to verse number 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Sometimes we think that we got to have the greatest, biggest, grandest, or we're going to have pastor, elder, bishop, such and such. We're going to fly him in. He's going to cost us $10,000 while I must make the church bankrupt. We're going to have to give him 20 grand just for him to stand in this pulpit and preach. I don't think so. Honey, because the anointing of God is nothing that you cannot buy. You can't buy God's anointing. But God had chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. He had chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty. Okay, sometimes the things that the world thinks is all powerful and wonderful, God's not looking at that. He's going to look at sweet little humble sister such and such who come to the prayer meeting. That's when he's going to bless. The one that's coming to prayer meeting, she ain't trying to be seen. She's just trying to be saved. Brother such and such who's coming to the church, you know, at pastor, what can I do to help you? I'm just here to help you, all right, pastor? The people who are coming, working in secret, and God will see it in secret. He's going to reward you openly, amen? It says here, in base things of the world and things which are despised have God chosen. Maybe you wasn't chosen to be on the kickball team. Maybe they overlooked you because you couldn't run fast. Maybe you weren't chosen to be on the basketball team for various reasons. But God made choice of you, and that's the most important thing. Amen? It says here, things are despised have God chosen. Things which are not to bring to not things that are, that no flesh. That's one thing that God's not going to have. He's not going to have nobody's flesh on display in his kingdom, that no flesh should glory in his presence. If you want to be in God's presence, you got to tell your flesh, get somewhere and have a seat. It's all about me and Jesus. You may have to wrestle. You may have to tussle. But say, flesh, no, but you're not going to win. You got to get down there. You got to repent. You got to cry, whatever it takes to be in God's presence. That's because that's where the real action is, saints. In the presence of God. No matter what's going on out there in the world, we got to know Jesus for ourselves. Why? Because we're fighting in a battle. And these things and these little things that the world has is not going to help you fight the enemy. If anything, is going to rock you to sleep and maybe cause you to walk away from God and you wonder, well, how did I get here? How can I not feel the presence of the Lord? Because we allow the wrong things to rock us to sleep. We think about, Samson. You remember Samson? He could feel the anointing of God. Oh, he was beating up people, and he was just Mr. Muscle Man. But one day, he had a haircut in the wrong barbershop. And Delilah, who she was rocking him or doing her thing, Samson, the Philistines are upon you, and he would jump up, and he would beat him down. He wasn't realizing that Delilah was setting him up. And then one day, she said, oh, you're just not telling me. Samson, where is your great strength really, really lie? If you really love me, you'll tell me your bank account number. You'll tell me your credit card number. You'll just tell me, you know. And then, of course, he answered. He answered her. And then she set him up, and then it was over. And he got up. But he didn't realize that the presence of God was not with him anymore. The anointing of God had left him. And we don't want to have that experience, saints, because we were mixing and doing things, thinking, okay, I can do this, I can do that. No, I know I can't. I'm too fragile. I need Jesus. I can't mix it with everything. I do good to do what I'm doing on a daily basis, let alone add some extra to it. Oh, it's not going to work for me. It's not going to work for me at all. I need all the Jesus I can get. I don't care what. Well, whatever. Coming this meeting, coming that. No, that's okay. I'm all right. I'll go Bible class. Thank you so much. Every meeting and every conference, everything is not of God. It's just not. It's not. And some of these, I don't care. I'm going to be careful. I went to church. We went to church. It was a funeral. And I thought, you know, the man of God, he was apostolic. And I thought he was going to give an apostolic altar call, even though we were using somebody else's church building that was from a different denomination. I thought he was going to give an apostolic altar call, and he didn't. He set us up. How many people need? And I said, oh, yeah. And then he said, well, we'll pray for you. I'm like, but you going to pray for people? What you mean you going to pray for somebody? You going to tell them about Acts 2:38? I had a little attitude. I need you to tell people the truth. especially at a funeral, you need to be telling people how to be saved. It's a way, God will give us a way to do it. He'll give you a way to tell about the plan of salvation at a funeral service. People need Jesus. They'll need you playing with their soul. Say amen. You know, we move on. But yeah, but there's certain things you say, well, Lord, I've never been in a situation like that where the apostolic preacher didn't really get up and give the altar call, the real one. I said, oh, this is different. And I tried my best to catch up with a couple of those people afterwards and let them know some things. You know, I tried. But that's what happens, saints. When people kind of get, you know, puffed up a little bit, they don't really tell about the plan of salvation anymore. They have a name. They got a title. They got mega numbers. They're not talking about Jesus like they used to, about the altar call and about salvation. What's up with that? Tell men and brethren what must we do to be saved. Amen, amen. So it says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. If we want to continue to see the power and the presence of God in our church, amen, praise the Lord, we have to understand agape, that we're not going to always fit in. We're not going to fit in with the world. We're just not going to fit in. God's people don't fit in with the world. World standards, world system, the mindset. Sometimes people want big numbers and big names and all this, that, and the other. We thank God for what he has given to agape thus far. All we have to do is continue to praise him, continue to bless him, continue to do what we've always done. And God's going to bless agape to continue to grow and grow and grow. And we support our pastor. We're going to support our pastor. If he says no, it's no. Because maybe he got some intel that we don't have. Well, we going to go over here, Pastor? We're going to go over there? He said, no, we ain't going over there. Well, why not, Pastor? Everybody's saved over there. He know what's going on behind the scenes. We may not. Okay, Pastor, that's fine. He said, no, it's no. That's all right. He's got a reason for it. We just thank God for our leader. We keep him moving.
That's it.
So saints, I'm going to close out. And I'm going to keep you encouraged to know that we don't have to fit in with the world. Why? Because we are a chosen generation. We are royalty. We are peculiar. And we are special. And we are called by the name of Jesus. He loves us. He died for us. And we owe him our life. And we want to give him glory, honor, praise on tonight. And God bless you in Jesus' name.